let's read Galatians 2:20 here, and we'll jump off from there. This scripture, Paul speaking to the Galatians, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, when we talk about identity, in this earth or this earth realm that we live, you know, you can't go anywhere without you need to have some identification. They want to know who you are. You know, if you go to, you know, if you travel, anybody in here who travels by plane or ship, you know, you're not going through security without some kind of identification. You ain't going nowhere. As they say, you're not getting on it. And if you don't have your ID, your passport, or your driver's license, and I know next year, you know, I just seen a notice, they're saying that now they're going to change your driver's license so that it's going to have what they're going to call it a real ID. I guess you have a fake ID now, but you got to have a real ID next year. They're going to change your driver's license so that now you can use it when you go and travel domestically. So, you know, if you don't get a change before October 1st of next year, you won't be able to use your current driver's license. Newsflash. Anyways. the point is you've got to, they want to know who you are. So you're going to have to prove who you are. You know, Paul wrote in the Gospels, Jesus I know, Paul, or they said, the devil said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And so that's what a lot of the officials do. They pull you over if they want to stop you on the road and pull you over. They say, give me your ID. Where's your driver's license? And if you don't have one, you'd be in trouble. But same thing, if you want to go open a bank account, you can't just show up and say, I'm here. They go, good, show me some ID, give me your driver's license, right? You get my point. But also with that, a lot of times in life, people identify with other things. People identify with sports figures or personalities. They want to talk like them, dress like them, act like them. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just telling you that's what it is. People identify with things, right? They identify with their culture, their heritage. You know, we're all, this country is a melting pot of all different cultures, right? People identify with that. And that there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you live in this body. You are of a culture. You came from some culture, right? Sometimes people identify with their problems. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. You know, they identify with the problem. I'm broke. I'm sick. Oh, okay. So you identify, you get my point. People identify with either someone or something, right? And so we need to know what is our real identity. It is no longer I that liveth, but what? Christ who lives in me. That's your real identity. Because the minute you ask Jesus to come into your heart, yeah, you live in this flesh, you live in this body, but you no longer identify with your past. You're dead. Your past is dead. His death and burial and resurrection swallowed up your past, swallowed up everything you did. You know, I remember, you know, some of these things are so real to me. You know, I share them every now and then. But when I was going through college, I worked construction, and I worked as an electrician. You know, I worked in construction on the commercial side. Then I started doing housing and all of that. I worked through the local union. And I had access to it through someone. And so even after I got out of college, you know, I went to engineering school, and I got out of college, and I, you know, while I was looking for a job, I still was doing construction work. And you're around construction people. And one thing construction people do good is cuss. That's what they do. They just cuss, you know. And so I picked it up. You're just around people. That's why I say it's important who you hang with. You know, because you will pick up habits, you'll pick up things from people that you associate with. And so I began to curse. And man, I mean everything, cussed at everything. I wasn't angry, it was just, it became my adjectives, adverbs, verbs, everything. My descriptions, everything, I was cursing everything. I, you know, just cuss everything, right? That's just the way I was, and I didn't even think anything about it. But I could sure turn it off when I got home because I'd have had my head turned around sideways by my parents because we didn't cuss in the house. It's just the way they were. We were raised Christian. We didn't, you know, I never heard my parents curse. So anyways, the day I got saved, I used to race cars and do all that kind of stuff. So I had a sports car at home, and I'm under there. I came back from church, and I'm under the car doing something, and I whacked my hand, and normally I'd have cussed. I just, you know, just pop, 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 cuss at something, right? Because I hit my hand, and nothing came out. And the day I got saved, I mean, it was like a fire down here. And I, first of all, I wonder what happened to me. Well, I became a new person in Christ. I died, my spirit was changed, and he came in and took up residence. And I'm telling you, when I went to curse, nothing came out. And I mean, it stopped me. I'm under the car and I went, what happened? Something changed. And I mean, I'm laying on the ground going, what's going on? I did. And from that day to today, I can't cuss. Because there's a new person in me. Now, yeah, we renew our minds, you know. We have to change our thinking and our attitude about things from the Word of God. But I'm a new person in Christ. It is no longer I that liveth, but it is Christ who lives in me. That's who I identify with. That's my real identity. And so, you know, people that grow up in environments, you know, whatever kind of environment they've been exposed to, just like I was exposed to all of these construction workers, you know, don't look down on people because that's just the way they've grown up. They've assimilated habits and things. You know, if they're around certain things, people pick up certain habits. And so the key becomes becoming a new person in Christ. That will change everything, as they say. It'll change everything. Change you. Change your identity. You no longer are this, you know, Christ has come in and lives in you. And now that means that you're a brand new person. Your past doesn't pertain to you. All that stuff I did and used to do, it doesn't pertain to me anymore. So these things, he absorbed, you know, when it talks about Christ, it talks about the first Adam and Jesus being the last Adam. And he absorbed everything. All of mankind's problems and sin and sickness was absorbed and taken in Christ. When he went to the cross, I went to the cross. When he went to, was buried in hell, I was also. Not physically, but he took my sins. It represented mankind. So when he went to the cross, mankind went to the cross. We went to the cross. When he went to hell, mankind went to hell. Why? Because their sins went there. And when he was raised from the dead, so was mankind. What does that mean? God's not mad at mankind. God is looking at mankind through Christ. And all of the sin that's been was done by mankind has been paid for. And all mankind has to do, you know, it's like somebody who pays your bail. You've got to say, okay, thank you very much. I'm free. Thank you. I recognize that. So people have to identify with the finished work of Christ. They've got to say, I believe he did that for me. Come in and lead me. Come into my life. Well, now, if you reject that, well, then that's on you. He's done the work. He's not holding it against mankind. That's our real identity. And that's a wonderful thing. That's so wonderful. Let me read a few translations of Galatians 2:20. These are maybe translations you're not familiar with. This is one called the Distilled Bible. It says, I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. He lives in me. He's just using my body. I'm dead. This is one called the Jerusalem Bible. I've been crucified with Christ. I live now not with my own life, but with the life of Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live in faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and sacrificed himself for my sake. This is another translation called the Lovett, Lovette. I am crucified with Christ as surely as though I were on the cross with him. Yet I am alive, but not because my old life somehow managed to survive. It didn't. I am alive now because Christ lives in me. Yes, you see me continuing to live in the flesh, but my real life is by faith in the Son of God who loved me and sacrificed himself for me. So you can see here that when we talk about our identity is with Christ who is alive and lives in me. And this is what Brother Hagin's talking about in his books, that he says, look, we need to identify with who we are. Just the same way, and they go, who are you? Well, my name's Bob, my name's Mary, my name's Sue, my name's Jack. That's my identity. Yeah, you have a natural identity and a natural name, but you really, the real you is Christ in you. And that's who you need to identify with. When you start identifying with your problems and you start identifying with your past, then you're not really identifying with really who you've become. You've been set free from that. You've been forgiven of that. That doesn't pertain to you. Your past has been forgiven. And Christ is your life. And he's not holding it against you. See, it's the devil that wants to come in your thought life and say, you dog, you did this, you did that. And just when you least expect it, he'll bring up this picture of you in your past. You need to just get up and laugh and say, ha ha, that doesn't pertain to me anymore. That's not my past, because it's been swallowed up in Christ. See, and this is why when you don't know the Word of God, feelings and thoughts will rule your thought, will rule your life and your choices and your decisions. But when you know the Word of God, see, then you can turn that, flip the switch, so to speak, or flip the script and say, excuse me, that thought doesn't pertain to me. That's not me anymore. I've been forgiven. I'm redeemed by God through Christ. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. My past doesn't pertain to me anymore. See, it'd be no different if you were incarcerated and you had committed some crime, and then they, you know, they use this word where if they said, okay, we've forgiven you, we're going to clean it, and they do what? They expunge your record. So if you went digging for it, They what would they say? I'm sorry, we can't find that. I'm sorry. Well, that's the same way it is in Christ. You want to go diving for it, you won't find it. You won't find it. So it's important that we identify with our new identity. That's the key. So when we identify, you know, I always like to say this, when Christ moved in, stuff moved out. You know, that cursing moved out when he moved in. When he moved in, sickness and disease should move out. When he moved in, worry should move out. When he moved in, peace moved in. The peace of God moved in. And all of the anxiety and the worry about life should move out. Now, it doesn't mean that these things aren't going to come into my life and confront me, but he's in there to guide me. How? Through my spirit, through my conscience. He's going to show me how to navigate life. He's not leaving me here helpless. That's why he said, I'm not leaving you. He said, I must go away, but I'm going to send another helper, another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And I'm sending him here to help you. So isn't that something? Even with all of that, he knew our weaknesses. He knew that we couldn't go through life without bumping around. See, so he sent his word, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to help us, to reveal the word of God to us, and to guide us where? In our hearts, in our spirit, and bear witness to our conscience. Make this choice. Go over here. Do this. See? And that's the wonderful thing to me. And the more I you know, yield to that, the more success we have in life. The more we yield to him. See, I think sometimes God, people think God is angry at them, angry at people, and just letting us go through life the best we can. That is so far from the truth. God loves people. And God has, sometimes when people aren't listening, that's why he sends you to help people. Because people are bumping around, you know, stuck in a rut. And you need to go over there and sometimes God will prompt you to help people. And just let them know how much God cares for them. And you are the hands and feet and eyes. And you, what does the scripture say? We are the body of Christ. And so we're here to bear witness of the goodness of God. So one thing is that your identity is different than your behavior. Just because something happened to you, that does not mean that that's who you are. Your identity, your real identity, is not your behavior. You are a new, if you've become a Christian, you are in him. He's in you, you are in him, you are one. So the scripture talks about we are one spirit with him. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should do what? Walk in them. Now, I want to take a little moment here, if you would, and I want to just focus on Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. So let's turn over there, Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 3, and then I'm going to look down through to chapter 2. And if you have a Bible, just look on, or and whatever you have, paper or electronic. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, I'm going to read from the King James. And verse 3 of Ephesians 1, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Not going to. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. See, he chose us. He chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein in this grace he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom, he's talking about in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom, talking about in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Let me read that verse in the New Living Translation. It says, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. So when we believed, he identified us as his own. He said, they're mine. Don't touch them. They're mine. And how did he do that? He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in to live in us. And this word sealed means to be stamped, marked. You are marked or sealed. How? By his Spirit. He's living in you. The light of God lives in you if you're born again. And you're sealed or marked or stamped by the Holy Spirit. That's your identity. I'll tell you one thing. The devil knows who you are. The question becomes, do you know who you are? I know who I am, and I've been in situations where I remind them who I am. I remind the devil. You know, I remember one time, I don't know if I shared this, but years ago when I first became a Christian, Christian Broadcasting Network had a counseling place that, and I used to assist in that. It was phone counseling. And so long story, you know, it was a long story. But anyways, I was on the phone, and so this lady called, and that's why I say it's important to hear your heart. And we had a rule, you know, we didn't give our names on the phone, you know, all those kind of just normal kind of things. And you would pray with people. And so as I'm praying with this lady, I heard right down here, ask her where she lives. And I went, no way am I going to ask her where she lives. What for? That's like, no, I'm not doing that. And so it kept coming up, ask her where she lives. And so I know the Spirit of God's voice. And so I said, where do you live? And she said, named a town. That was the same town I lived in. And I thought, okay. So anyways, I ended up going to pray with this woman. And I wouldn't normally do this because I'm single. And she was also, in the sense she had children, but it was a very, very sad situation. You just look at the devil just beat up on people. She was in a car accident. Her husband was killed. And she had two children. And she was a mess. That's just bottom line. She was a mess mentally. They had her on drugs, psychotropic drugs, just to keep her stable. And she was, when I went to the door to ring the doorbell, it was like I was talking to a wall. That's how drugged up she was. I'm serious. And for 6 months, I went and just would go every week, pray with her, share the word. And finally, I said to the Lord, I ain't coming back. This is ridiculous. I'm just talking to a wall here. It was like a blank face. They were just a zombie. And, you know, then I, started to hear the Holy Spirit say to me, ask her, you know, was she ever involved in witchcraft? Was she ever involved in, you know, demonic activity? And she said, because she started talking and telling me she sees demons. I said, okay. So I asked her, was she ever involved in that? And so she said, no, but my mother was. So she was exposed. That's why I say associations are key. So anyways, I was home one day praying, and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, you take authority over those demon spirits that are harassing her. And I'm home. Now, this is all new to me, because I thought you had to be in the presence of something to deal with it. And that was new to me. So I obeyed. I just got up. I was in my room. I said, Satan, I bind you from this person. I said, I command you to stop harassing her in the name of Jesus. Simple prayer. Nothing shouting and screaming. Just bound the spirits that were binding, were harassing her. I'm telling you, the next week when I went and I rang the doorbell, it was like a whole different person. She came to the door. She goes, hi, how you doing? And I was like, did I go to the wrong place? I'm thinking, who is this? Totally changed. Totally changed. Come in the house. She says, I have had the greatest week. She said, I feel so great, I've stopped taking my medicine. She said, I feel great. And she said, I said, well, good. I said, okay, wonderful. I said, but you need to go to your doctor and make sure that that's okay. I feel great. And so then, you know, we're just sitting there, and she was so engaged just talking. Then she said, well, I'd like you to meet my mother. I said, no, 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 no. This is the end of this. And I never went back, because I realized at that point, she's now, her faculties are clear, and now she's seeing me different in some kind of way. And I said, that's not why I'm here, honey. I'm here to help you not have some kind of a relationship. So I never went back. But the point was, she got help. And the point is, the reason I shared that is, we need to know who we are in Christ. When you are in Christ, you have authority over demon spirits. And you have authority over sickness in Christ. Doesn't mean we go around looking for things, but as directed by God, you exercise that authority. And that's the important thing that we need to know. And so Ephesians chapter 2, continuing, it's talking about us here. Starting in verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened. What does that mean? He made me alive. He quickened me. How? In Christ. I'm brand new now. He quickened me. He gave me life, his life. He quickened me. Who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. I was dead. I'm not dead anymore. I'm alive in Christ. I was dead when I was cursing and swearing. My spirit was dead. But when life came in, cursing left. This says here, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We all were there. Among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, thank God, he, even when we were what? Dead in sins, we weren't even thinking about them, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That's what I'm saying. The slate of sin and trespasses that was against mankind was forgiven. It was taken in Christ, and he forgave mankind. Mankind just has to accept it. And it continues, and it says, and hath what? Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, these next two verses are key. But now in Christ Jesus, ye, or you, who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh. How? What does that mean? Made nigh. It means made close. We're one. How? By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That means there's nothing obstructing us from getting to God. He broke down this barrier, this great gulf. That's what he came. He was the mediator. That's what the scripture says in Hebrews. Jesus was the mediator between God and man. He's our peace. In verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments ordained, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So when it says here, he abolished in his flesh the enmity, this word enmity means hatred or hostility. He broke it down. There's no more. God's not mad. He's not angry. Jesus took all of that for us. And all we have to do is what? Identify with him. And all of the blessings. You know, we sang that song, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Well, we are blessed. How? In Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ, we're blessed. That's why I tell you, turn over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Just about finished here. But just want to make this point here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified, how? By faith. What does that mean? Being made right with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we now have peace with God, how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And how is that? By faith. We are justified by faith. We have now, we have it, we have it. We have peace with God. You see, one of the things that we need to keep going back to is, you have peace with God. Where is God? Where is by His Spirit? His Spirit is where? In your heart. You can have turmoil going on in your life, stuff going on in your head, stuff going on in your life, but in your heart, the real you, the spirit of man, has peace. Not turmoil, not worry, not anxiety. And you need to keep reminding, you know, Brother Hagin used to use these old, these colloquial sayings, you know, and just, I call them old-time colloquial sayings. He'd say, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest. Which is true. What does that mean? You can't stop thoughts from coming in your mind, but you can stop them from staying. You say, no, that doesn't pertain to me. How do you stop it? You speak the word of God. You keep speaking the word of God. That's not me. That's not my identity anymore. I am in Christ, and I am a new person in Christ, and I have peace with God. And you do that enough, and he'll go find somebody else to bug and harass. But you've got to know who you are. You know, all of us, when we know our rights in this natural realm, oh boy, you let people know about it, don't you? You have an insurance policy, or you have some kind of policy, you pull it out and wag it at people and say, please, ante up. Right? Here's my insurance coverage, whether it's medical, whether it's housing, whether it's on your car. You know, you quick to tell them, look, my insurance policy says XYZ, I want a refund. I want money back. I want coverage. Well, how bold are you to let the devil know that I'm in Christ, I'm blessed, you're defeated? How many of us do that? Oh, we just whine. Ah, it's so hard. Ah. Well, then you don't know who you are. Because if you really knew who you are, the whining would stop. And you'd be bold. You'd let your adversary know, get off my property. Get out of my mind. Leave my presence in the name of Jesus. That's what we have to do. And you got to be bold about it. And that boldness comes not through information. You know, I like what one minister said. You can steal information, but you can't steal revelation. Yeah, we all got a Bible. We can open it up and get information. But revelation, insight into God's word, comes through the Holy Spirit. You were given access to that. That was revealed to you personally to know something for your benefit. And when the Holy Spirit reveals something or enlightens a scripture to you, that was for your benefit. And you need to take hold of that and grab hold of that and say, thank you. Now, that's more than information now. That's revelation to you. That's something revealed to your heart so that you can grow thereby. And it's for your profit, right? So it profits you. Amen. So the Spirit of God, and we'll pick up here next week. I'm just going to add a little bit more to this. But there's so many scriptures on the peace of God, but this really starts with knowing who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, you know, I could tell you, you know, yeah, you have peace with God, and you go, that's nice. But you really need to know who you are in Christ and that you're a brand new person. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. It's peace that lives in me. It's his love that lives in me. It's his grace that's in me. That's what's in me. See, what is that scripture? Let's just close with this scripture here. Go over to Romans chapter 8. We read that in that daily entry. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And just look at that scripture. I mean, the Romans chapter 8 is a phenomenal chapter. But this says here in the King James, Romans chapter 8, it says, therefore, there is what? Now, no condemnation to who? To them which what? Are in Christ Jesus. So there's no condemnation to me because I'm in Christ. And it says, which, who, what? It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's conditional, isn't it? It says, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but it says what? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See? And look at verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded, this would be fleshly minded, to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is what we're talking about. Knowing that I'm in Christ, but now I need to have my mind renewed. I need to have myself mindful of the fact that he lives in me now. And when I have that kind of mind, it'll be life and peace in my heart. I'm telling you, it is the only way to live, and you will be a success in life if you become spiritually minded. You will be a success in life. You know, I've told that story about that young man that used to go to Brother Hagin's meetings. He began to follow these principles of listening to his heart. And he became a real estate broker or investment person as a young man. And this is many, 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 many years ago, probably 40, 50 years ago, when that whole Tulsa, Oklahoma area was very rural and remote, cow pastures. And God started leading him to buy property here and buy property there. He became a multi-millionaire just by following. I'm not saying everybody's going to do that or that's their call. But the point was, whatever you are doing in life, you can become successful. Because God will lead you into success so that you make good choices and right choices. If God's in me, then he's going to lead me and show me how to make the right choices. Every choice I make, how's he going to do that? Through my conscience, through my spirit. Amen. And we have peace. I'm sorry, I got one more scripture. Go over to Proverbs. We'll close on this. Proverbs chapter 3. This is it. And I mean it. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. Now look at verse 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious, talking about wisdom. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. What are we talking about? When you have the wisdom of God, you'll know how to live your life such that you'll have length of days. And you'll get riches and honor. Now look at verse 17. Her ways, talking about wisdom, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are what? Peace. Peace will lead you. Wisdom will lead you, and its paths are peace. So when you don't have peace, when you're going to make a choice, it's not the wisdom of God. Leave it alone. Put it down. Just let it sit on it. Maybe the wrong time. Maybe the wrong choice. But if you don't have peace, where? Not in your head, not in your flesh, in your heart, in your spirit. That's the real you. Every choice you go to make. I'm telling you, when I get in the car, do I go left or go right? Sometimes it can mean the difference of you sitting in traffic or not. I'm not saying don't use a GPS, but you've got a GPS in your spirit that will show you what to do in every circumstance of life. Just become, sometimes that's this I call this little thing here, sometimes this thing will be telling you go here, right? And you're sitting there going, why the heck didn't I listen? Why didn't I listen? So let's become inside. I'm not saying don't use this, but be open to be led. Let peace lead you. Amen.